The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
People, welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 263. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going? It's a little empty in here. Feels weird.
Even though there's six of us, six out of seven.
I know. It feels weird.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What up, what up?
Adam Vale.
I can smell you.
And Brian Monjoma.
What up, people?
All right, man, we're back. Yeah, I don't know how it's up. It's like we have like almost everybody.
With the massive amount of people we had last.
Well, that is true. Yeah, we segue there. Shout out to Torrance and shout out to Riku for joining us. I was gonna say last week's literally a couple of days ago show.
You know? I had us on the last show.
So yeah, that was a good one, man. We got into a big debate about graphics and scalability. Mm-hmm. Torrance was against all of us. Basically, we did not agree with Torrance on that one.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't. I mean, to be honest,
sorry, like, Torrance, you got to take the L on that one, man.
I know. I mean, we do just so happen to have two programmers that are on the team here.
Yeah,
I don't know what Torrance programs. Three programmers.
Torrance has been.
Three programmers on the show, all said the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and Torrance has been fighting with guys on Twitter all weekend about it, you know, because nobody agrees with him. No. It's like, but I'm like, okay, again, I'm like, yo, bro, you're like a tech guy. You should know that you have to program for the least common denominator, and that shit's going to hold the biggest one back. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, yeah, on PC, you can have the craziest fucking textures and all this other shit. But there's going to come a point where, like, oh, we can't add as much because then we won't be able to add it to the previous one, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, if you have 100 zombies on screen, that's a lot different than having 10 zombies. That changes the gameplay, you know? Anyway, yeah, we're not talking about that.
Go watch the show if you haven't
seen it. Yeah, go watch the show, man. Get a recap. The fuck was I going to say? Before we start, you know, this is a little bit weird, but you guys will understand. We want to give... our condolences to the family of, I hope I don't butcher my man's name, Rene Abergenois. He was, you know, we know him mostly as Odo from Star Trek Deep Space Nine, but he's also been in a lot of video games, so kind of ties in with us. He did the voice of Janos Aldrin in Soul Reaver 2. He was Carl Schaefer in the Uncharted games. I think Uncharted 2 he was in that. Who obviously he was Odo, you know, in Star Trek, you know, Online. And Command and Conquer Renegade and Fallout New Vegas. He was the unknown guy or something like that, you know?
Yeah, he's a character actor, so he tends to be in a lot of things. Like, even, you know, he's had a career that stretched even all the way up into, like, the 70s and, you know, in the 60s and stuff like that. You know, he was in, like, stuff like MASH and Three's Company. He'd been around in that, and he's just been a solid actor that you would just get to play really cool characters, and it's a shame to see him. I mean, it's sad to hear that.
Yeah, and it was, what would you say, Chris, lung cancer or something? Throat cancer?
Yeah, he had lung.
Man.
Lung cancer.
That's brutal, man. So yeah, our respects to him, man.
Yeah, man.
Sad. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Little last minute, Manny, can you pull out that throwdown schedule from the Twitter?
The throwdown schedule?
Yeah, because we got to give you guys the skinny on what's going on.
We got to keep reminding you guys.
Yeah, because I want to do it now, and then I want to do it at the end of the show just to remind everybody. You know, because right, throwdown's going to be doing some little bit things, you know, things a little bit differently for the next couple of weeks until the year's over, you know?
Yeah, literally right after the show, after the show, we're going into that sort of schedule.
Yeah, we're going into you know, finale mode for the year, people, for the year. We always have to tell people because people are like, yo, you guys finishing Throwdown? You ending Throwdown? It's like, no. Just for the year, man.
Yo, chill, man, out. It's over?
Yeah, it's over, man. Yo, what happened, man? All right, pull this up here. All right, so as you can see from your screen, just hit F11, Manny. Thank you.
There you go.
All right, I gotta pull it up on my end over here. Okay, so we already did. Oh no, okay, so we're already doing Throwing Your Questions, episode 263. So this Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Now, Carlos, quick question: the show starts at 9, right? The Game Awards.
So I saw when I looked up the Game Awards, there wasn't really like a schedule. Like I had to really look for it, and it said 8:30. So maybe the pre-show starts at 8:30. Could be that the show starts a little bit later. I'm still not too sure on that. I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know if we want to start before to give our predictions or anything like that.
That's exactly what I want to do. So, all right, what we're going to do is, even though it says 8:30 right there on the screen, between 8 and 8:30, we're going to start the show, right? Because we want to do a little pre-gaming and all that shit. Anyway, so episode 264 of, you know, will be the Game Awards stream. We're going to have... Hold on, let me get her name. I keep calling her by her Twitter name. I keep calling her Tay Nixter. It is Taylor Lyles, right, and David Gilton, and we're going to have both of them on to join us and give their thoughts on the show live. So that'll be Thursday. You know, and the show's going to go on as long as the Game Awards. So it'll be a little bit pre-game and a little bit post-game. So it's going to be a long episode, you know, so get ready for that. Then that weekend will be Throwing Your Questions, episode 264, normal episode of that. And then after that, the final two episodes of the year, people. So episode Throwdown episode 265, the end of the year special, will be on Thursday, you know, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, normal time. And we're going to just talk about, you know, the highlights and the lowlights of the year of 2019 in gaming. And then Sunday, December 22nd, we'll be Throwing Your Questions, 265, the AMA special, man. I know Carlos. So that one, you can ask us whatever you want. Obviously, if you want to ask us video game questions, go feel free to. But we're kind of encouraging you to ask us shit outside of gaming just to keep it fun. And we're going to limit you to 3 questions, man. It's going to be crazy, man. And then after that, December 26th and 29th for those respective shows, we're pretty much going to be on break after that for 2 weeks straight. Then we return, Throwdown returns on Thursday, January 9th, with episode 266 of both shows, man. January 9th and January, 12th. It's going to be crazy, man. So we're going to bring this up again at the end of the show so you guys know what the fuck's going zones. And with that, let us get to some questions. Not a lot of questions this week, people. So if you guys want, you better start asking us those questions. Otherwise, we're going to be done in half an hour. We don't got Brett here either, bro. Man, you crazy. Put my camera, my dumb ass. All right. First up, Mr. Damian. Damian.
He's got the fire, right? He's got the fire.
Oh, man. Yo, Damian, man.
Lift that fire.
Hold on. But before I ask this, answer this question, Damian, I got to give you props, man, for like a month in a row now, man. 4 weeks you've been asking us questions. I like that. Granted, some of these questions are pretty heated, but you're loyal. I like that.
Okay. So does it start with this panel? I'm playing around.
It's a variation of it.
This panel.
Yeah. Why do you all?
Okay.
Why do you all think it's good that Sony will not be making cross-gen games? What about all the people who are just now getting a PS4? Can I answer the first part first? The last part first.
Yep.
Who the fuck cares about the people who are just getting a PS4 Pro now? It's like, who gives a shit, you know?
This happens with every generation that flips over. It's always the same thing. Well, what about the guys that have it? They can fucking still enjoy
fucking
it.
Bad. Too fucking shit, bad.
Just, there's plenty of games on the PS4 for them to play.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're getting this late in the game. They don't really give a shit about the PlayStation 5.
Yep.
They're buying a 7-plus-year-old console for the first time.
Yeah.
And so they have this huge library of games that they missed out on. So if someone buys a PS4 complaining that they are not getting a PS5 game, then screw them. It's their fault for not thinking this through.
Well, I mean, if you're not going over, I mean, to be honest, if you're not going to go over to the next thing, then why? That you got to give somebody a reason to go to the next thing.
It's a question. Right? Now, is he asking for?
Yeah.
Is this? Because I'm trying to understand. Maybe he's saying if people right now during like this Black Friday holiday get a PS4.
Yeah,
maybe he's talking about that. Like if they just got it, not knowing shit. Like let's say their parents are like, "Hey, I'm getting you that new system." Would they be? Probably not, because there's still, like we said, though, there's still plenty of games on it. So yeah. Even if someone just right now, Black Friday, Christmas coming, unbox, oh shit, it's a 4, and then they find out there's a 5 coming, that's still a year away. There's still plenty of games. It's not like, oh shit, January 1st, the PlayStation 5 comes out.
Well, what the fuck?
I mean, is Xbox going to be doing cross generation games?
Apparently they are, yes. and we're going to get to that. So let's answer the first part of the question first. Why do you think it's good that PlayStation 5 games, PlayStation 5 exclusive games, will not be playable on PS4? Like, the answer is pretty fucking obvious, because it's the next gen system.
Exactly. You don't expect that. No one expects that.
Yeah, no, I don't think. I think
were you motherfuckers beefing when you couldn't play Super Nintendo games on Nintendo? Were you beefing when you couldn't play Sega Genesis games on the Master System? Were you beefing when you couldn't? Come on, man, it's stupid. Like that. This is how consoles work, man. Every generation is more powerful, and you can't play the new games on the old systems. It defeats the purpose of buying a new fucking console.
Exactly.
I understand that Xbox is, you know, they're like, oh, you're gonna be able to play, you know, the new games on the old systems. Okay, that's what Xbox is doing. Sony's doing what everybody's been doing for the last 30 fucking years. You know, so why?
Hopefully.
I'm not done yet. I'm ranting right now. Because all fucking weekend, I saw this shit. All fucking weekend, these Xbox guys were saying, oh, you can't play PlayStation 5 games on PS4. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Really? And then some fucking sites, I'm not going to name the sites, were saying, oh, the PS4 is going to be missing this feature. How is that a missing feature? Really? That it can't play next-gen games? Get the fuck out of here, man.
If it does happen, I know some people are bitching about it, because we saw this with Call of Duty had an issue like this. When they went to the new gen, even though it's not exclusive, but hear this out. When they went over to our current gen systems, had all these features, but the same version was released on for the 360 PS3, and it was missing a campaign, and it was for the same price. And that's what would happen if they did have these exclusive PS5s go back to PS4s. It's not going to be on the same level. Everyone knowing would know that on a PS4 version, it would be a downgraded version of the one that they would get on a PS5. If not, if they were both identical, what's the point of fucking getting a PS5?
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds, isn't an example of this kind of like the thing with Shadow of Mordor? Where it's like you had Shadow of Mordor on PS3 and it didn't even have that main feature that was on the next.
That's right. They didn't have the Nemesis system.
Neither. Yeah. Both.
The engine, it doesn't support it. Yeah. We saw a bunch with Frostbite, EA, a bunch of their fucking shit.
I do want to add this caveat. I think you guys will agree with this. I'm pretty sure third-party games will still be cross-gen, right? This is,
of course.
Yeah. But, you know, but Sony specifically said first-party PlayStation 5 games will not be playable on PS4, and motherfuckers are getting mad over that.
Good.
Like, why are you getting mad? That's a good thing.
Hey, the fuck out of here, man. But hey, they can. We just talked about it. Like Manny just brought it up, and then I brought up with my Call of Duty and the whole thing. A lot of these third-party supports, even though they say they're going to support it, don't expect the certain engines or certain features to be on both versions. Yeah. We're going to see a lot of exclusive, a lot of the more power, you know, put some quotes up there because who knows. But the more powerful version of the game is, of course, going to be said to be on the new Xbox and on the new PS5. And then the basic shit is going to be on the PS4 and the Xbox One.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm ranting again. So the same motherfuckers that were saying that the PS4 is too weak, now they want PlayStation 5 games to run on this shit. Are you kidding me right now? Come on, guys.
It goes back to the whole, like, lowest common denominator conversation, too. It's like, we don't want games to be built for these systems. We want these new experiences to be developed for and, you know, as a main focus on these new systems we're trying to buy, like that they want us to buy. So why, you know?
I feel like when in the Xbox situation is that they're not going for anything that's really remotely console based, and I wouldn't be surprised if Xbox just doesn't, you know, we've said this before, that Xbox is not going to may not even just be a box anymore.
It's gonna be a service, man.
It's gonna be a service.
By the way, and Chris, I'll get you here in a second. I just kind of realized something. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that you got a PS4 or PS4 Pro this holiday, right? PS5 comes out, trade the motherfucker in. And if you say, oh, what about the games you buy? Play them on your PS5. You're good to go, you know. Go ahead, Chris. What's your thoughts on this bullshit, man? I'm fucking heated right now, man. And by the way, not because of Damien, because I've seen this shit all fucking weekend with this stupid bullshit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, you guys already, it's,
The system needs exclusives. Every generation has a stepping. Like, even though it's disc-based still and digital and whatnot, hardware limitations that need overcome. So, yeah, you have forward compatibility. Be like, yeah, I could take GTA 5 and play it on a PS5 if I want to. All my PSN shit is in the cloud. So as soon as I get a PS5 and hook it up, I have all my shit. I have everything. So I could just play my whole library on there. I mean, it makes sense to me. I don't understand where the anger is coming from.
Let's just be honest. The anger is coming from because these guys are using this as ammo for the console war. They're trying to say because Xbox said that the games are going to be backwards and forwards compatible. Now they, I know because Sony doesn't have that, they're like, oh, that's it. See, Xbox is better. They care about the system you buy.
Well, they're not. It's not. They're actually officially they don't care about the system that you buy. They don't. That's the whole point of the whole server. The way that they're going. They want you. They want you to play. It doesn't matter where you play it because they want you to buy the games. It's not the boxes that make these companies the monies. It's the games. It's always been the games. Yeah, they've been saying it's always been the games.
And now it's the services.
And now it's the services. So yeah, what? So that's how they're gonna get you.
And besides Pete say this right now, at least Sony's being honest about this. I think once you get Scarlet out there and they are going to realize they cannot fulfill this promise, and then they're going to say, oh, certain games cannot run on Xbox One.
Yeah, that's but, right. I want to see
what Sony's just being honest about it,
Yeah, I want to see what these guys are going to say then, because that's going to happen. That's going to happen eventually,
No, well, they're not going to say anything. They'll just move on to the next bullshit.
Yeah, right. Fucking fanboys, man.
But it's such a weird thing to just get all caught up in. I mean, these guys are not gonna obviously the ones that are all into the whole Xbox thing and the whole ecosystem of Xbox, they're not gonna go and buy, PlayStation. So why are they complaining?
Says a good point. We kind of have a similar question about that.
It doesn't affect them whether Sony offers something on the new console or not, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, there's actually Techno Fabulous who's in the room right now. Call of Duty. He asked this question about that. So anyway, so that's Damien's first question. The next one is,
all right,
this is an interesting one. Why do you want to get a PS5 on day one based on PlayStation launches? The launch titles have always been weak. No one's going to disagree with you on that one.
No one's going to disagree.
So of the people who are going to buy day one, why are you going to get a day one? I'll start with myself first. Should I give the real answer or the asshole answer? Even though the asshole answer is kind of true.
Give the answer first and the real answer.
Because this is my fucking job. I need it for my work, bro.
Yeah, it's just work.
But in all honesty, I call it a future investment, right? I know there's going to be a bunch of hot shit on there eventually. So I buy it and I wait, just like I did with PS4. PS4 launch was booty and the shit didn't have any games for like fucking 4 months. But it was an investment, right? Once the game started, they kept rolling, so that's me. That's why I'm getting a day one. Literally for my job and because it's an investment. Because Sony has not let me down yet, and I don't expect them to let me down next gen either,
Do you want the bullshit answer or the real answer?
Both. The bullshit one first and then the real one.
Okay. Because I want to wash the bad taste from my mouth from this gen.
Oh! Is that a bullshit answer? I don't know.
Carlos, that seems like a real answer.
Partially.
By the way, that's also a little bit of my answer too. I'm like, I'm excited for next gen just because I want something better than we got this gen. This gen was fuck. I'm sorry, this was the worst console generation I've ever experienced, man.
All right, well, here's the problem though.
I'm not saying it was bullshit, but out of everything that I've experienced my entire life, this was easily the most disappointing. Easily, Yeah.
Well, forget. Let's say it's not the job and the whole thing. Just for a regular consumer, if they look at it, what stands out showing that 5 and Scarlet are going to bring anything different?
That's no, you're right about that. And you know, we don't. That's why I'm hoping things get better. Yeah. Because Adam, I feel you, bro. I feel you. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, if we keep going the same trajectory, I don't think next gen is going to fix anything either. You know?
Yeah, it's like it doesn't seem that.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. I think that their plan, and this is my prediction for next year, is that every publisher is going to look at all their big titles and say, how can we convert these into services and continue going on? I mean, right off the bat, way before even all these services start taking off, I always felt sport games should be services. They don't justify $60 every year for an updated roster and little tweaks.
Yeah.
There's no reason for that. It should be a service. Maybe they can make it at like $20, $30. But the problem is, every year people run out and they buy these games like they're going out of style. We see it on MPDs. Oh, it's Madden, the NBA, the FIFAs. People don't give a shit, even if it's just a roster tweak. Look at the games. The only time we ever see noticeable differences is when we jump from other consoles, like what we're about to do, because then it's more power, and it's like, oh, wow, look at the crowd, and everyone has different outfits, and they're waving flags. You're like, okay, I get it. But when you start spanning, like we said, 5-6 years, and every year there's another version of that game, why not just make it a damn service?
I agree.
You know, people need to stop buying those fucking shits. I stopped. I was a parkour FIFA head. I love, especially Ultimate Team. And then I fucking saw the light. I woke up like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, none of my stuff is canon.
Yeah, it took me a while because I kept believing in the bullshit that EA was saying. They kept saying, we're Ultimate Team. Oh, we're going to have it where certain players you'll be able to carry over. You know, so that way you're not starting with a whole new deck. Like Magic. Let's say, for those who want to say, think of Magic the Gathering. Let's say if there was a game, and every time you, well, there actually is, I think you can't carry it over. But let's say you had your full deck, you loved your Swamp Walks, you did the whole thing, and then the next year the game came out, and none of that shit carried over, and you had to go and get a whole new deck and all new players. Fucking pain in the ass.
Like just happened with Pokemon?
Hey, Brett.
There you go. Oh. What happened with Pokemon? Oh. So that's what I'm saying. It's like the EA had promised that this feature was going to get put into place. Well, how about if you do that with a subscription service? They did some kind of service. Like, hey, you pay this price for the year to whatever, for the lifespan of this series for this generation, and you don't have to worry about that. Yeah, your shit will carry over for the next ones, and you won't have to keep getting. Because I noticed, this is the reason why I stopped, is that every version I was getting the same players. Because the same players, year over year, majority of the time, are still good. So I would just go get the same fucking cards. And then I was playing my brother something. He's like, oh, wow, your team looks just like last year's. So I'm like, you know what? You're fucking right. I could be playing last year. Why did I even bother getting this year's? It's the same shit. I'm playing with the same player, man. Yeah, I saw the light, and then I said, fuck it, I haven't done it. So this year, 2020, I didn't get it.
Anyway,
It's about goddamn time.
Yeah. Okay, who else is getting PS5 on day one?
I said
I'll give my real answer.
Okay, what's your real answer?
I mean, I've been getting consoles at launch since high school, so nothing's going to change there.
There you go. Manny,
classically, I never buy a console for on launch. But being that I didn't invest in a PlayStation Pro, and supposedly this new one is supposed to be fully backward compatible, at least for the four generation, I'd be willing to move over to the PlayStation 5 if it offered all that stuff. So essentially, I'd just be playing pro versions of the games that I played before. My current backlog of games, because the games that I have, I'm probably not going to be finishing right away. So I mean, why not, bring it over to the next thing, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's a good point.
Play on there, and then box the old one.
Yeah. All right. Who else is getting it on day one?
I'll probably get it on day one.
All right. What's your reason?
I'll probably get it. My reason. Well. Stuff that I'm doing with the coalition. We get a lot of stuff coming through, and I know there's going to be a lot of that shit that's going to be funneling through, because, of course, all these publishers are going to want to get their shit out there and get as much coverage so people run out and buy the system and their titles. So just on that fact, it just makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. So it's work. It's
yeah, it's work-related. Yeah,
so. All right, anybody else? Chris, you got to wait.
Yeah, probably get it day one.
You get it day one. What would be your reason?
Because my PS4 is about to take off into orbit, man.
Well, we talked about it last episode. That loud fan and the whole shit that happens on the PlayStation, that's across the board for
everybody, person. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't expect that shit to stop in 5.
What's the question?
The question is, if you're going to get a PlayStation 5 on launch day, why are you getting it on launch day?
Okay, I mean, I'm not going to interrupt Chris. He was in the middle of answering, but I just wanted to know when it came around to me.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, yeah, no, I was done. I mean, I know my whole library works. B, my system sounds, you know, that's my main reason.
You're still running on old GPS4 anyway, right? Like me.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm ready to upgrade.
Cool. Brett?
I don't understand this question.
I'll read it again.
No, I get it. I mean, I understand what the question, what the words mean.
Well, no, basically the real question is like, why do you want to get a PlayStation 5 on launch day if every other PlayStation had shitty launches? That's the question.
Why not?
that's right, sir. Why not?
No, seriously.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Okay, so from my perspective, I know I'm going to buy it before the inevitable price drop several years in. So I know that I'm going to spend that money and it's the same amount of money because it doesn't drop in price. You don't get great bundles until a couple few years in. I know I don't want to wait that long. So then it comes down to, well, I'm spending the money. Why not? All it's going to do is, what's the worst thing it's going to do? Boost my PS4 games?
Yeah.
And what's the difference between spending the money now and 3 months from now? Or 4 months from now? Like and I think this comes from me personally, so a lot of people will disagree with me, but one, my job is feast or famine. Money comes in, sometimes times get rough. If you have the money that's extra, put it towards something that you'll be happy about later, like a PlayStation. Right, like there are certain material things, certain ways that you treat yourself that you're still happy with. I mean, going to a concert's great, going to a big steak dinner's great. Like you save a few of those up, it adds up quickly. Get yourself a PlayStation, and then you're happy that you got yourself a PlayStation for like the next 6 months. So to me, it's just one of those. The only valid question I hear in there is, are you going to wait for a price drop? Because if you're not going to wait for a price drop, why would you not buy it immediately?
Well, I mean, the reason, I mean, like for me, and you're sort of talking about a situation for me and the PlayStation 4, which everybody in this room pretty much got the PlayStation 4 close to on launch.
Yeah, I got it on launch, yeah.
And the reason why I gave it on the show and originally is because I didn't want to invest in this thing and not have anything I wanted to play. At the time, during the original PlayStation 4 launch, everybody remembers it was all about Knack and that lousy
Resogun.
Yeah, I mean Resogun was
really kills. No, I know, but it got a lot of hype around it. I'm like,
yeah, that. I mean, you know, something is wrong when the cheesy indie game was getting more headlines than the big budget game by what was it, Killzone?
Yeah, Killzone Shadowfall.
And Knack. Yep. The two games that were kind of whack on that thing, and to be honest, I wasn't interested.
Yo, Knack is whack.
Games are whack.
They got another one coming.
So I mean, like, it's like, why for me? Like at the time, like, you know, I know the damn thing wasn't backward compatible. So, and I was still full into playing PlayStation 3 games. You know, I was playing Strider and all those other games on there. So I was like, all right, you know what? I got games to play on PlayStation 3. So I'll just continue to play on PlayStation 3 until there's something that I really, really want to play on the 4, and that's when I bought it.
Okay, now Manny, let me ask you. Mm-hmm. I want to start this with not antagonizing in any way. I'm genuinely curious about this. So if you had a pile of, let's just say, $400, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could put it into a special savings account and wait, like you said, to play or to buy the system – I'm. Where is the benefit there? Because by not buying the system, it's not like you have more to play. And I understand the
two benefits being that I could pretty much put that money into something that would probably really benefit me more, like paying some bills, or you know, at the time, what was this, 2012 where we were in, right?
2013.
Then the PlayStation 4 came out. There was some, you know, I was going through some hard financial times when it came to taxes, and I was paying all that shit off too. So I mean, making an investment in a $400 console, that's not a drop in the hat. So officially, that money went towards something that could really help me, rather than just giving me, you know. Rather than just going to sit in a corner until some game that I want to play comes out, you understand what I'm coming from here?
I do, and I think the difference there is when I squirrel and save away like little bits of money, and so when you break open that piggy bank, like generally it's your bills are paid there, for. Like it's the idea.
There was no piggy bank at that point in time. There was just running on empty. There was nothing there. So as many places that I could kind of save and scrounge and pull in, I would do it. So I mean, even now, and I even sort of think that way, where it's like, if there's nothing for me to play on there, why should I throw money into something that's just going to sit there underneath my television until the actual games that I really want to play are there. That money could go towards something, you know, that could go into my savings, that could go towards some bills that I need to pay, you know. I could think of so many other things. You know, there's stuff that, you know, from my personal business here, which is, you know, my computer at the time. I had at 2013, 2012, I had to invest
in it. It died, computer. I remember.
Yeah, it died at the time. So, I mean, it wasn't, you know, I'm thinking more about those sorts of things. Entertainment stuff is a splurge that happens later when I feel that I can invest that sort of money into something. So if there's an excuse, if there's something in the way that says, okay, there's no games, there's this fancy new console, everybody's talking about it, but there's all the games that are for it, except for the free game that's on it, are really all shit, then why buy it? Right?
I find that reasonable. Again, I think.
I mean, if I had there. Here's the thing: if I had a lot of the disposable income, if I was just rolling, you know, rolling through money all the damn time, and I'm like, yeah, I'll throw it out there and I'll let it sit there. But right now, I mean, at least for me, I'm just like, it's all the belt is always tight.
See, I think the difference here is maybe this will help somebody who's listening. I was kind of I was the opposite of what a lot of tattoo artists were. I watched a lot of tattoo artists splurge their money away. So I am ridiculously cheap. I will admit to it proudly. I will say I don't buy things full price. I buy things on sale. I buy things out of clearance sections. I buy things off the back of a truck.
You bought that the VR headset, no?
They, yeah,
you pay the full price, the VR.
No, no, man. No, I got it on I got $50 off on it in a free handset. There are certain things
you found
I'll
a deal.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain things that I'll spend money on, but before all this happened, like, I was one of those people, I would never splurge on myself. My money just kept going out like a hole in my pocket. You know, there's always mm-hmm. something that you can spend money on. And so I think it was the first year I wanted to take Rachel to Comic-Con. I learned, like, every time I make $100, try and slip 10 away. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard, you know, take my change, take my ones, stuff them into piggy bank. At the end of the year, I got like $3,000. And it taught me the idea of squirreling away, and I kind of took that a little bit further, and Rachel made me do this. I took this a little bit further to, okay, I have a luxury fund, a treat yourself fund, and you just mm-hmm. put a little bit of money in it every once in a while. And that money, like, yeah, you can spend it on bills if you're really, really, really strapped. But the idea is that you're only putting enough, you know, you're only putting the little extra bits of money, some spare change, a couple dollars here and there. But it adds up. And I think it's important, especially when you, you might understand this, when you kind of work for yourself, you got to be nice to yourself every once in a while. You got to incentivize yourself to reward yourself. So I'm viewing this
there has to be some sort of method to all the madness. There has to be something that you're sort of working toward. Other than that, you're just throwing money in, you know, at your bills and at your apartment and at your electricity and all the other bullshit that you need to pay every single month, right? But yeah, I mean, I definitely believe in that. But I mean, again, that's the way I just look at it. Is I look at my funds, I look at what the things that I need to pay, and then I'm like, okay, can't treat myself to anything right now. So we'll just let that sit. And then if there's any sort of other things that are in the way that are like, okay, this month is not, that's fine. It's not going to work out. So, you know.
Oh yeah, like you start to, like, I just to clarify, I'm saving for my PlayStation 5 now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm already squirreling away money.
Yeah, for me, I'm not actually... me thinking about buying a PlayStation 5 is not really something I'm actually thinking about at this point in time. You know?
Well, I may not be a PlayStation. Whatever. I'm saving money for my next gen.
for your thing.
for my next gen console. PlayStation, Xbox, whatever comes out with the strongest showing.
Yeah,
because I'm like Manny, man. Like, yeah, I can get it on my PC, but have y'all seen my couch and my TV?
I mean, I know Chris and, you know, agrees. It was like just sitting in front of a computer, just playing games. I can't. After hours and hours of sitting in front of this thing, I don't want to play any.
Hey, that's me too, man. I'm not playing games in front of this shit. I work in front of this thing, you know.
Dude, and I just recently showcased my awesome fireplace living room. If the choice is hunch over a computer or that,
Which one
of you gentlemen would take hunch over a computer?
You want to sit next to the nice looking fire and listen to the noise. You don't want to be looking. You don't want to have your back to it, which is pretty much what you are. You know, when you're looking at your computer, right?
Oh yeah. But the computer is in the corner for concentration purposes.
Yes,
it is not facing the TV. It is not facing the fireplace because it's fucking work time. Get the corner and do art.
And to be honest, for me, I don't get a lot of time to sit in my living room at all. Anyway, me and my girlfriend, like, we were joking about it today. We're in this office like 90% of the day. And, like, we were joking, we barely, like, the living room stays just the way it is, all nice and clean, and nobody's in it. The only time I'm really in it is to play a little video games, and then that's it. You know, we barely watch TV in there, so it's like any excuse I can use to get away from this machine here, I will take it.
Yeah, and Brian, you're not getting no PlayStation 5 on launch.
It's actually quite fun conversation. Because I'm the complete opposite of Brett and Manny, like, right here. I'm like, I already have my funds, so if I get a PS5, it's because I want to play my PS4 games at a decent frame rate and resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I would get it. But until I actually see it happening, it's more of a maybe. Mm-hmm. And Xbox, why? Why would I do that? I don't understand.
Exactly.
I'm literally playing Just Cause 3. No, Just Cause 3. Crackdown 3 at the moment. Like, I will share my screen with you guys. In fact, can I do it right now?
Go ahead, man. This is a video game show. Video games, man.
To be honest, you could literally have that thing running while we're doing
it. I hope the shit doesn't crash the fucking stream. I guess we're going to see what happens.
Oh, look at that.
Crackdown 3. Yeah. Like, I'm literally playing it right now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Why? So why would I? Why would I get an Xbox? I don't understand.
That's right. You know, that's what I'm doing. Like, Brian, sometime next gen, I may talk to you about this. I will upgrade my, you know, GPU, man, you know, so I can play the Xbox games.
So, I'm just not in the same boat as Manny and Brett is. And the whole couch thing, it's like, I get the couch thing, you know, but to me, the chair is just the chair, you know? To me, you need to be sat in the chair. And for me, the chair is more comfy than the couch is. Like, the couch kind of sink in, makes you feel, like, all relaxed. It doesn't make you feel like I'm sharp. It makes you feel like, okay, it's a passive experience. I'm just here just because. It's like a lazy type experience, or like a passive experience. Whereas if I'm in a chair, then I'm propped up. It's like my body is poised to be focused and to concentrate and do stuff. Whereas on a chair, I just can't do the same thing. So
I feel the exact same way as Brian.
Oh wow!
When I get on my couch and try to play a video game, I'm more closely to fall asleep than to play like a video game for a while. I just get too comfortable.
It's funny for me. As soon as I'm more inclined to fall asleep watching a movie on the couch than I am actually playing a game where I'm a little more engaged.
Oh yeah, a movie also. But for video games, it's like I'm just way too relaxed. I'm not really focused on the game. It's like it makes me want to do other stuff more. Weirdly enough,
do you work on your PC a lot?
What do you mean?
I think there might be some psychology here. Like an interesting fact is, one of the things they tell you when you work for yourself or do creative stuff or anything like that is to set aside a very separate space for that. And the reason they tell you to do that is because when you step into that space, your brain starts firing on the neural pathways as if you're already working. So it shortens your warm-up time and basically leads you to, anytime you step into that space, your brain goes, oh, it's time to work. It's the same reason why every time you step into the bathroom, you have to pee, because your brain is already, you know, putting that routine into practice. So I'm curious if the main difference is, like, because I imagine, Manny, you're kind of like me. When you step into your place where you draw, like your computer, you immediately go into work mode. It's not let's have fun, let's enjoy this. Like, I remember being that way before I worked at the PC all the time.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. It's exactly that, that it's the it's yeah, like any single time I sit down at this desk, I'm more work minded than anything else. I'm just thinking about getting something done or whatever. Or But I also let me add that all of you guys also do work in, you do have separate spaces for work. The desk area that you, is the, your desk area at home is not really a workspace. So in a way, is it?
Yeah, because I have, I work from home sometimes.
Oh no, but I mean like 90% of the time, like is it like?
He's trying to say if you're always stuck at the same spot, there's no change in scenery.
Yeah, you know,
your work, your play, your everything is just in one spot.
I think the thing is, it's like because of the way it is, like you know, because I mean, and this and that may not be right for everybody, but I think it's because you have that specific workspace that's the, you know, you go to a job and that's where the work world is. So there's
wherever
separation.
Yeah. But I think for Manny, like yours is an extreme example because you're always there, work, unless like you're working like you were working in New York the other a couple of months ago, like that might have helped, but for the most part you're always there working in that same area.
Yep.
So I can understand why for you it's much more difficult to, you know, try to have a space where you can game in the same area where you're just stuck there working all day.
Same here. I brought my PlayStation up to work. Even the times that I had to play it, like I couldn't play it up at the tattoo shop for the exact same reason I can't play games at my computer anymore. It's just been just work.
What about your Switch?
You know, I bring my Switch up to work and I kind of play it sometimes, but it's real tough and I'm easily distracted and I just can't, I can't get into the relax and play brain space. There's at least 30% of my brain that is stuck in that work mode. Same when I'm at the computer. Like I can be in the middle of a campaign in Civ 5 and be like, oh shit, you know what art I need to draw? God, I need to do this tattoo. Oh man, like Mandalorian's real big. I should draw a Mandalorian picture for my Facebook because people shit their pants over Baby Yoda. And I should try and be relevant. And then I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Gandhi is nuking me. So it's just, you can't, it's hard to explain because you're talking frame of mind and psychology and neural pathways. And like, it's tough to compare your perception to another person.
Yeah. These are all the issues that they talk about with people that telecommute. This is the downfall of telecommute.
Yeah.
Is that people that stay at home and work at home, then they don't detach and they have other issues. So it's like, where's that detachment? Where's that freedom? Where is your freedom, your safe space is supposed to be home. But what happens when that's also your workplace? You don't ever leave. You don't go anywhere.
The biggest part of what I found to kind of separate myself from the work is to actually have a specific work room. When me and Chris used to live, we used to room together. We had our work we had our work office room, and we just stayed in there. And then once that door closed, that's it. That's where the work would stay. And I wouldn't even go in there to check anything. Once I was off the job, the door was already closed, and that's at least it brings that sort of separation where it's like as soon as I get in this room, you know, that's over. We're in work mode.
All right, man, let's move on. Next question, Mr. Techno Fabulous in the house.
Fabulous.
So his first question is, why don't gamers let Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo do what they want with their consoles and games? Instead, some gamers are forcing these companies to have the same approach to gaming. Not really sure what he's asking there, but
maybe it's like one thing, one console has one thing that the other has, and then they'd like, why don't you have this kind of deal, right?
Could be.
I don't know. I mean, the whole point of any business is you want to listen to your audience or your consumers. You want to listen to them because then if you listen to them and you adapt whatever they want, then most likely they'll buy it. If you don't listen, it's usually the opposite. It's like, oh, they didn't hear us. We bitched about that glowy shit on the fucking D-pad there and then they didn't take it out. So if anything, it's a positive that they listen to the people and they make these changes. So they should listen. I don't see that as a negative.
Some people, including myself, just don't like the whole thing.
You cut out the punchline again, bro.
Really? I'm standing right. Anyway, some people don't mind some people, including myself, like the whole kind of Fortnite direction that a lot of these companies are going. But I don't know, even before, I think it's something as simple. I don't think it's rational. I think it's something as simple as I spent $400 on this, and I expect this blank. It's a kind of entitlement, but I don't want to say, because entitlement's so derogatory. It's not actually completely unfounded. I mean, when you're buying into a platform, when you buy into a space, half of what we're doing is we're expecting a service. We're not just buying the PlayStation so, you know, we can have it act like a PC. If that were the case, we would demand to be open source. We buy a PlayStation and subscribe to the platform because we expect PlayStation to continue to produce content that we like. So when you spend $400 and buy into a service and they don't do the things that you like,
well, Adam, chill, bro, shit.
It can make you feel kind of I don't know, shitty. So like I'm not saying they're the right. I think at the end of the day, it's kind of entitled gamers just yelling, but I think there's a reason gamers feel so attached. You know, you're buying into this ecosystem, and then anything that tries to change it is basically attacking it. Right. You got time, you got money, you got so much shit invested in it already.
Oh shit. What? Just quickly, shout out to Kristen. Apparently she had to delete 6 messages from some asshole. I didn't see the messages, so that she did a great job. Good.
Thank you.
Motherfuckers. Anyway, go on, Chris.
Yeah, we're probably getting bombed just because.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what he means by gamers forcing the companies to change their approach to gaming.
I don't understand. I don't know what he
means by approach. Yeah. I mean, talk controls, or you're talking about like the style of game, talk about the systems. Because people can't force companies to do anything, right? People can give their opinions and whatever, and the companies can listen, but they also have many ways to listen to consumers, and a lot of that is them collecting, doing surveys and whatever, and then taking in and then deciding what to do next, right? So it's not really, you know, Sony or Microsoft or Nintendo looking at Twitter and going, oh shit, people are pissed, what do we do now? Like, it's not that simple, right? Like, Nintendo doesn't give a shit if you're outraged. You could call them up, brigade their phones. People did that with, I think the first, was it Xenoblade Chronicles? And they did it with one of the games. And they don't care. They just don't listen. They just do whatever they want. So you're not going to force them to do anything. They're going to look at sales and feedback. And like constructive feedback that they give out surveys. They're going to look at data, digital engagement time, and they decide what to do and what people want and what they don't want. The idea is I don't understand. The question is, like, I don't see how anyone can even force a company to, you know. And then he said approach, and I don't know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to answer this. I'm kind of confused. So I'll, you know, let you guys take it wherever you want.
I mean, don't you think that been pat, you know? I mean, even just down to TV, Microsoft's abrupt change in direction. I mean, you can't say that the gamers as an audience being vocal haven't shaped the directions of the companies. I think that's all he's saying,
though. Well, but that's a positive thing.
It is. He's just looking at it in a negative light. It's just being put in a terrible context. Like, sure, he doesn't like the changes.
Yeah, but I mean, the TV thing with Xbox, that was a terrible idea. People, like, gamers want a gaming computer. You're saying, oh, this thing is a DVR, and we're going to give you movies. Then why the fuck am I playing on this?
Well, I think the TV thing was also a thing that sort of betrayed the sort of hardcore audience of the Xbox. It's them essentially trying to expand their audience and just not giving any sort of anything to the folks that were there from the beginning who already supported it. It's like, you have all these gamers that are they're going to buy this, so why aren't you giving them more things that they're interested in, as opposed to trying to spread, you know, to spread yourself as thin as possible toward every single bit of entertainment, you know? It shouldn't have been a it shouldn't have been a TiVo that plays games. It should have been a games console at first that just so happened to have a TiVo in it. You know? And that the way they were selling it was the opposite way. They're trying to sell an Xbox to your dad. You know?
Right. You know, but it's those things like that the market corrects itself, you know? But that's not even that's not anyone forcing change. That's just the market going, hey, we don't want this. Not buying it, and then you go, oh, we got to change direction.
You know, because I know he was pretty upset, you know, just like I was at the top of the show about the whole what was going on with, you know, PlayStation 5 and all that shit. I think under that context, I understand his question, right? He's basically asking, like, why are people getting mad at Sony for not having their first-party PlayStation 5 games available on PS4? Like, why do you want them to do the same shit Microsoft is doing? I think under that context, the question makes sense. Yeah, again, like I said before, because these motherfuckers are stupid. That's why, you know, it's like for countless generations, it's always been that if you get a new system, you can't play the new games on the old system. It's the way it's always been. But now suddenly it's a missing feature. I still can't believe that was a headline. It's a missing feature.
It was a thing for a while. No, because
you cut out, bro.
It was a thing briefly on the PS3.
No, you couldn't play PS3 games on PS2, bro.
No.
No, was it the PS4 then?
No, you couldn't play PS4 games on PS3.
No, you could never do that. You could go forward.
You could go like forward, but you couldn't go backward, yeah.
PS3 could play PS2 games, but not the other
one. Yeah, okay. So it was the PS3 fat that could play PS2 games.
Yeah.
Yes, but so, you couldn't play PS3 games on the PS2, understand?
Right.
No. Oh, okay. You're
that's
saying
that's what they're saying. Okay. It's like,
by the way, Brett, just to contextualize it, basically this weekend I went off on a rant about this, and if you want to go on a rant about it, you go ahead. So basically, people were complaining that you can't play PlayStation 5 games on your PlayStation 4.
Those people are idiots.
Thank you. That was the big beef. Like they're saying, they're like, oh, Sony's being anti-consumer because they're not allowing the PS5 games to play on PS4. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Really?
No, I mean, they won.
Before Brett goes, can I address the elephant in the room?
Yo, man, where's this elephant?
Yo, where's this elephant, man? Yo, man, he's behind you. Watch out!
Yo, what? Yeah. Excuse me. This elephant might or might not be in the United Kingdom.
Uh-oh.
Brian, do you think that releasing PS5 games exclusively for PS5 and not PS4 is anti-consumer?
Well, it's a PS5 game. That's the whole point of it, right?
Yep.
Yes.
So, what? Get a PS5. Yeah. You know? Like, I wouldn't expect any, like, console game to say, hey, I'm going to make a PS5 game and then also make it for a PS4. Like, why?
Like, I don't. Well, you know why I'm asking this, right?
Yeah, see, it doesn't work if it's within the same family. If it's across different families, then yes, it does work. Nice try, Carlos.
Bam.
Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah.
Nice try.
It was a very good try.
Yeah. By the way, Brett, before you go on, sorry to cut you off, because you weren't here first, I wanted you to explain to people how console generations work, just to be an asshole, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, go off, man.
I'm still flabbergasted on where to start.
Again, just for context, people are mad that you cannot play PlayStation 5 games on PS4.
Okay. Yes, and I'm mad at the people who made my drinking cups because they're anti-consumer, because I can't fit an entire gallon of milk in my 8-ounce cup, which means I have to go to the fridge a second time, and they're just punishing me. They just want me to buy more cups. They could very easily break the laws of physics and allow me to have a gallon in an 8-ounce cup. But, you know, what it really boils down to, when I agree with these people, is I think I already have a PS4, and I want to play PS5. So give me something for free, and I'm going to stamp and yell. And I think that's all the substance there is to that argument, really.
Yeah. Also, the second part of the question, and I'm going to give you my answer first before you go off. The second part of the question was, what about the people that just bought a PS4 now? Shouldn't we worry about them? My answer was, tough titty.
Yeah. No, have you no guys other not company been paying can. Attention? You could buy an iPhone that... Like, you could buy an iPhone 10 right now or X, or an iPhone 11 is, you know, if if you miss out on a generation, if you don't understand these cycles, and you make a purchase and you're like, oh, I feel stupid. Well, that's your
problem. That's on you, man. Problem,
right?
That's on you.
Yeah, I mean, pay fucking attention. And, oh, by the way, like, and I don't know why this is turning into an old person thing, but it is. Back me up on this. You don't get anything. You don't fucking deserve anything. You're not entitled to anything. The game company, Sony, could come out with a PlayStation 5, let us all buy it for 2 months, and then come out with a PlayStation 6. And their response could be, eat a dick. If you want to play PlayStation 6 games, play PlayStation 6 games. And our proper response should be to shake our head and be like, that was a poor investment. Not going to do that again. Because that's how consumers work. Back in the day, like, fucking, when the Dreamcast came out, they were coming off the back of a system that wasn't that old and was completely failed. It was obviously a mulligan. And we all just went with it. Like, the fucking entitlement of some people now to think that they own, they've given money to a company once, and so that company should pander to their fucking every whim. Like, no. They don't have to do anything for you. They don't care about you. Again, they don't care about you. Sony does not know who you are. They're not wishing you a merry fucking Christmas. They don't care what you had for dinner yesterday or what your problems with your girlfriend fucking are. Sony doesn't care about you. Microsoft doesn't care about you. They care about your money. And your response is, well, I'm not going to give them my money then. And then their proper response is to go, oh, fuck, we're not going to do that. Like, it's a very simple song and dance. But some people who should be following are demanding to leave, and they're fucking the whole thing up. Like, you can't just sit there and yell about how you deserve something new on your something old. And if you just bought a something old, you got it for a discount fucking price. There's something called market value. It's what the PlayStation was fucking sold for. It's the reason it's cheap and in bundles right now. And if for some ungodly reason you went on eBay and bought a $400 PlayStation 4, you deserve to be burned, because nature has to teach you. Otherwise, you're just not going to survive in the wild. I mean, I keep trying to find an echo of reason in any way I tilt this gem. I look at it fast this way, look at it fast this way. And I'll tell you, from every angle, it's fucking stupid. And the only thing that makes any sort of sense is this blind, well, I've given them money. I want to do this new thing. I want free stuff. I mean, it's practically a line out of Idiocracy. I want free stuff. I like new stuff. Well, that's on the old one. Yeah, but I gave my money. I like stuff. Yeah, that's actually the whole driving point. They want you to want the new stuff enough to give them money for it. I honestly don't know how to break this down any simpler. They want you to give them money, and they're doing stuff to try and make you give them money. And that's going to involve making you want something enough to give the money and not giving it to you for free. I mean, can we basically fucking establish that at least?
Well, on this podcast, we can, but, you know, some people can't. By the way, Do the Third says that he is now mad that he can't play his Switch games on his Game Boy.
Yeah, he is now mad.
There's no precedent for this, and they're getting mad because Xbox said they will. I'm like, Microsoft said a lot. Of things, you know, a lot of companies go to E3 and say shit and don't follow through. I saw Scalebound at E3. That shit. I saw Phantom Dust at E3. That shit didn't come out either. Microsoft could say the fucking Xbox Scarlet could bake bread and iron your clothes, and if it doesn't do that shit, you know. So there's no precedent for this ever in any console. You can't go through Nintendo's shit, and it's like there. You can't do it. You go through.
Yeah, where's my Nintendo heart monitor?
You know, it's like, can you play your Switch games on the Wii U? No. Can you play Wii U games on the Wii? No. Like, you could just keep going backwards. Like, there's nobody's doing this. Microsoft says, but I guarantee you, when it comes down to it, they're going to have exclusive games for Scarlet, and it's only going to work. It's not going to work on the next.
Yeah, better on Scarlet.
can we look at it even from just let's just flip the problem around real quick. I want to look at the fundamental idea behind the stupidity of this. So, what you're asking for is new games, a new generation of console, a new oomph of power, and you want to be able to play it on your current low-end system. Let's just say for a fucking second that happened, right? All they're doing then is making PS4 games. If they make a game limited to the hardware of the PS4 and call it a PS5 game and it runs on PS5, it's just a PS4 game that also runs. You basically got Black Flag. So even if you get what you want, it just makes it a PS4 game.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're 100% right, man. Somebody tell Torrance that. Torrance,
he's talking about scalable games.
You were fucking wrong about that, Torrance. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's talking about scalable games, and I don't think, you know, we tried to communicate to him that's like scalable is a great idea, but at the same time, who's going to program that?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, man, what the fuck are we? All right. With all these cheap subscription prices for games on Xbox Game Pass, do you feel that gamers are basically getting their games for free because they may have a hard time paying for new hardware at the start of a generation? Gamers are so used to getting things for free, they become cheap assets at the start of a generation. So he's basically saying, you think you have all these services that are giving games for free because not a lot of people will buy the games on, like, you know, on new system because they won't have a lot of money? I think that's the question he's asking.
No, because there's a thing called system seller. It's again, the idea is they're going to sell you, give you a game that you want so much that you're going to save up and buy it. There's no shortcut. There's no way around. There's no getting the next gen on your current gen. Am I missing the point of this question?
I don't kind of understand it either.
Can you read it again?
Yeah, sure. With all these cheap subscription prices for games, Xbox Game Pass, do you feel that gamers are basically getting their games for free because they may have a hard time paying for new hardware at the start of a generation?
I don't think the extra $60 on top of a $400 price tag is the thing breaking up. I think the way that they're going to work, and I believe that Microsoft and Sony know this too, is that they're going to sell you a system seller game. They're going to sell you a game that you're really excited for. But when they have you there, they know that they only have one pin in you, and they want to draw you into the ecosystem. So they're going to flesh out that lineup with some free services, some trial games, some other things that maybe you'll spend money on later, because they know that there is space in your life. There's space in your gaming right now. If you have a repertoire of gaming, you haven't been hooked in. You don't have a basic game or anything yet. So that's their opportunity. There's a market there. It opens up, and they're going to jump on it. So basically, I just want to say, and I can't help but feel like something like that for saying this, but if you can't afford a new system and a game, don't buy the new system.
Yep.
Save up an extra $60. However you manage to save up that four, save up another $60. And while you're at it, save up an extra $60 for another controller.
Or buy the controller when it first comes out.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of people did.
Do whatever you can. Like, I'm also a firm believer, like, if you're not real careful, you'll piss away. You know, if just, you know, oh, I can, I have money, I can, you know, buy something fancy at the grocery store, or I can, you know, afford to eat a pizza tonight or something like that. Like, if you, and I'm not trying to, like, preach saving and budgeting here, but I honestly don't understand when somebody gives you, like, 2 years notice to come up with $400. I've been really poor. I mean, really poor. Paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And I've still managed to find a way to, like, scrounge and save little bits. Not right away, always, but, you know, it's when you have notice. Like, we have all this notice. Is there really that many people who can't get $400 in the next year?
I guess. I don't know.
That's a genuine question. Because, like, I don't feel super privileged. I've been in those situations where I'm living hand-to-mouth, and it's still... Yeah. But that's still not an issue for me.
There's people that have kids, and there's people that have family illnesses and all kinds of things that come up. And so whenever they think of, like, well, do I have expendable money? Well, no, because then they have to put that money toward other things.
Yeah, I've been there. And I guess that's just when I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do without. Like, if you know, when a family member gets sick, like, all that shit just goes right out the window.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, like, how are we – just somebody please explain to me how – and I know we're not arguing, but how we're arguing over whether $60 is going to make or break people a year from now. Because that amount of money and that amount of time should be almost inconsequential.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, man.
It's funny though, like, you know, like you're talking about the Sony and PlayStation, excuse me, the PlayStation and the Xbox thing. I definitely think that the Xbox and Sony are at this point in time are in two different types of business right now. I mean, granted, they do make games, but I think that Xbox is more, you know, getting you into an ecosystem and a service, and they're trying to get you to play that game on whatever service, you know, whatever that service is available on.
Yeah, they're trying
whether it be a physical console, whether it be your actual PC, they just want you to play that game. It doesn't matter where. Sony is still still in the business of trying to sell you a console, a system, you know.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on that one? Take that as a no, so we'll move on. All right. Given the fact that we do not have a lot of questions tonight, I'm going to allow Technofabulous to break our rule because he asked three questions. Normally wouldn't allow it, but we don't have a lot of questions, so I'm going to go for it. If a company is in last place in the console business, why should that company try and dictate what the rest of the industry should be doing?
He's talking about Xbox. I mean, to be honest, it doesn't, like, I'm sure that the other companies are looking at some of the ideas that they have, and maybe some of them are trying to apply them. Maybe them they're not. But I think I think a good idea, if something is a good idea, and you know, it's fair grain for a company to take it and be like, okay, yeah, we're doing this too. But I think that in this situation, Sony PlayStation's structure of console, you know, next gen console, next gen games seems to be working for them because they are essentially the leader at this point in time. But I think that I think Microsoft is going in their own direction because they're what they're doing, I think, in general, is they're trying not to compete with Sony directly, kind of a little bit how Nintendo is doing. It's not, maybe it's a new form of ocean strategy.
Wait, in Microsoft's case, would it be green ocean strategy?
It might be a green ocean strategy. It's filled with all that plankton. But, yeah, they might be. I definitely think that the Microsoft's strategy at this point in time is that they're not trying to directly compete with Sony, with PlayStation, though they're doing their own thing. And to be honest, it's actually doing kind of well for them. Granted, they're the third guy down, but that they're still the third guy down.
That's last place, man.
Still.
No, they're last place.
But they're still making money. They ain't losing, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
there's three.
But it's not making a lot of money. That's Chris's report showed, you know.
And yeah, they're not making a lot of money. And hence, why they're trying to cut as many things as possible.
Yep.
Making consoles is fucking expensive. I mean, granted, making software is expensive, but you know, you don't need to worry about all those other parts of it, right? If everybody's all digital, you don't need to be printing discs. You don't need to be making consoles. PCs are so readily available. You can literally build one right now. So I think that that's what they're doing. They're essentially making Xbox, I perceive, is going to be the Windows of video game platforms. It's going to be on everything.
Yep, definitely going to happen.
Because that's what Microsoft does best. They don't do fucking hardware very well. You look at all the failed hardware they've had. I mean, granted, the tablet PCs are doing okay for them now, but their phones did shit. Their friggin' Zune did shit. Anything that they actually, any sort of hardware that they've made kind of crashed and burned, with the exception of the Xbox. And even that, the 360 was literally crashing and burning.
Yeah, but to the question itself, I don't really see how Microsoft is even in a position to dictate anything. They're in last place.
That's my answer.
No one's even taking them seriously at this point.
No,
so
they're not.
I don't think you have to worry about, you know, their methods becoming mainstream. No one takes these guys seriously. They can't even dictate anything, you know. The reason they're trying to become a service is because they can't compete with Sony or Nintendo. And yes, I did throw Nintendo there because the fucking Switch is outselling the Xbox now, you know.
Yeah.
This is how it is.
So yeah, and to be honest, like in this, in a funky sort of way, I mean, as much as everyone talks about that silly place, you know, nobody talks about that PlayStation now, but they do have their own version of this sort of idea.
Yeah.
The same idea that Microsoft has. But granted, they're not throwing, like, you know, the new games on it. Like
no, they're not doing that. Because, and as Sony said, they don't want to devalue their games. That's why they're not
exactly
doing that.
They don't want it. They want it. They want it. They want it. You be, you know, you put you a part of the service and then you get all these games just kind of like PlayStation Plus months down the line.
Yeah.
Brett, any thoughts, man? Buy that game on day one.
Yeah. Brett, any thoughts, man?
Yeah. I don't understand how, kind of like you said, Microsoft can dictate anything. You have to have power to dictate. So they can say stuff. Nobody fucking cares.
You know.
But they can, yeah, they can say lots of stuff. I don't understand Microsoft's approach. As somebody who had the Sega channel and really loved the idea of, you know, rentable games and streamable games, everything like that. Again, our infrastructure just isn't there. And my fear with Microsoft is this is exactly what they did the last generation. And granted, they were proven right. Time, I think, will prove Microsoft right again and again. But if the Dreamcast taught us anything, it's that too soon can be a fucking problem. And, you know, Microsoft is trying to launch this whole new identity built on really shaky infrastructure. And that's supposed to be their way to price. So instead of taking that $5 or $10 out of your pocket and putting it in the piggy bank, they want you to feed it directly to them, which is fine. They'll just slowly bleed the same amount of money out of you. It's just the way that they're trying to do it. And what baffles me completely is you're a video game console manufacturer. You should be focusing on making the best video game console possible, but instead you're focusing on the middleware, the thing that's delivering all of our software. You're focusing on your platform itself. It's a weird, foolish decision, but I don't see anybody else doing it, like mm-hmm. Tony said.
Yeah,
I don't see Nintendo fucking it. I don't see Nintendo taking calls from literally anybody ever in my life. They just Nintendo does whatever the fuck Nintendo wants to do, and that's just the way that it is. Sony is kind of going in opposite direction. And I think that's actually the reason that Microsoft is doing this. If Microsoft were excelling in just selling fucking consoles, they wouldn't be trying to pivot and find an alternate direction to recapture a large portion of the market, which is exactly what this is.
Yep. 100% agree.
So this is kind of a desperate dodge. I don't think they're, if anything, they're trying to expand the market in a good and natural way. I mean, this is the way these things happen. You find new markets, you find new avenues, you find new revenue streams, whatever. And if that's how they're trying to do this, then that's fine. But what they're doing is literally the furthest thing away from making a decree and setting a precedent. It's going rogue and taking a wild shot. I mean, the two could not be further apart.
All right. Anybody else?
What if here's the interesting thing, though. Like, what if the idea, like, so... Okay, yeah, you guys remember the 3DO, right?
Yes.
So the idea behind the 3DO was the fact that the 3DO company was, they provided the, they didn't actually make any sort of hardware. 3DO, all they did was applied the API, and then they had the infrastructure, right? You know, how to make the chips and all that sort of stuff. And they would sell that license to different companies like Panasonic and Gold Star and whoever else, to make these sorts of, to make the consoles. What if Microsoft essentially just sort of went in that direction where they don't actually make their Xboxes anymore? Some other company does. And the real meat and potatoes of the Xbox ecosystem is essentially that their, you know, Xbox, Microsoft's ecosystem is the fact that they have this platform thing, right? You know, or, you know, there's the other alternative, you know, the platform thing you can play on and play almost and play anywhere, and this box that's made by some other company.
Well, I think you can skip the box made by another company because mm-hmm. instead of profit sharing,
yeah,
like you said, like if Panasonic said, "Oh, we'll build an Xbox, it'll be the Panasonic Xbox,"
mm-hmm.
that you have to profit. All Microsoft has to do though, no, Xbox is a service. People have, mm-hmm. and we don't have to spend any extra money.
Yeah,
on it. you know, just have a subscription.
All right. And unless anybody... Tony.
I think I understood. Did I misunderstand the question? It's like, why should a last place console dictate how the next generation is going to... Or did I misunderstand it? How did it go?
No, it basically, you know, I'm going to ask it directly now. If Microsoft is in last place this generation, why should they try to dictate what the rest of the industry is doing?
Well, I think they should, because if they want to be successful, they need to carve their own path.
Yeah, but if they're in last place, no one's going to pay them. You know, no one's going to take them seriously anyway. They can't dictate anything.
They're not in last place when it comes to money. Come on, now. We're talking about console.
No, but
yeah, and console Game Pass is still leading when it comes to that.
Dictating and carving your own path is two different things.
Yeah.
Yes, they can carve their path all they want. The crux of this question is, should Sony or Nintendo be even giving any of their ideas that they're doing currently any sort of cadence?
Yeah,
which of course
they shouldn't.
That's a matter. You want to see what your competition's doing. You can't be blind like that. Obviously,
you're going to see what the competition is doing, which is fine. But again, the future doesn't usually, unless, under that logic,
PlayStation would have never had multiplayer. Because remember what they said? Our audience don't want that.
The thing is...
Yeah, but PlayStation was the last place that generation, you know?
Yeah,
but they did it. That's what
I'm
saying.
But the thing is, if you notice, they weren't, when they started pushing all their titles and all that stuff on PS3, they weren't dictating what the industry was when they were doing this. When they started getting successful, that's when the industry started coming around and saying, oh, wait, that's how you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But dictation only comes from success.
Yep.
So if what Microsoft is currently doing does, in fact, do very well for them, don't you know Sony and Nintendo may decide, hey, you know, maybe we should do that sort of thing, too.
Yeah.
But they're doing it with backwards compatibility. They're doing it with Game Pass. PS Now is only getting better because Game Pass exists.
Yeah, because they're essentially directly in competition.
Yeah, but at the same time, even Sony saying, "Yo, we're not putting our games day one on this shit." You know?
Yeah,
they're not yet.
Yeah, not yet. But we're talking about now. We're not talking about that. We're talking about right now. We're talking about this
exactly. And right now, if someone was to say which service has the best one, which provider, it's going to be the Xbox. It's definitely not Google. It's definitely not PlayStation.
But it hasn't made them number one.
It's making them money though.
You know, it's making them money, but they're still not number one. They're in last place. You know.
But you can still dictate several aspects of the industry. It doesn't matter if you're last place or not.
No, if you're in last place, you ain't dictating shit. You know.
No, I definitely.
There's too many aspects to it.
You mentioned the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
It was last place when it started.
Yeah. Nobody was listening to that shit.
But the PlayStation 3 dictated that Blu-rays were a thing.
Yeah, and it happened.
And the whole industry followed.
Wasn't that really low because HD DVD died, bro?
No, they beat them out. There was a competition.
The reason why they beat them out is because PlayStation 3 had a Blu-ray.
Chris, go ahead, bro. But Blu-ray is a movie format. It's a disc for movies, right?
It's a disc for games and movies and media.
So, Microsoft was putting their games on double-sided DVDs, not... Not Blu-rays. The HD player was actually separate from the Xbox. Yeah. That was just to play movies.
That's what they were pushing.
So Sony didn't dictate Blu-rays because they were the only ones using Blu-rays last generation. So they didn't dictate.
The porn industry were using HD. And usually the industry follows the porn industry. Nope. That's how VHS beat out the beta.
This is a movie industry thing. You're talking about a format for a video format, It didn't dictate what gaming. It won out there, so it was widely adopted.
It's not a movie format.
It's not a movie format. It's a storage unit. Yes. So HD DVD lost out, and Microsoft wasn't even using it for gaming in the first place.
That's right.
So it only made sense that if Blu-ray was the standard for storage of movies and stuff and games, then it's like, okay, I guess we'll just adopt And Sony wasn't the only one who held that the format. There were people in it like Toshiba and whatnot, all licensed in and developed this format. So that's, it's not just Sony dictated what everybody's doing in the gaming industry. Really more to do with movies and a format to store movies than it did for
the industry. Didn't there was only one company doing Blu-ray format
video game, and the company, yeah.
Yeah, so there was no, only that, there's only one video game
that's not true, because Toshiba was also making Blu-ray. You see, you're only looking at it at
no, I said video game console.
Blu-ray but it doesn't have anything to do with the gaming console. It's a storage format that was used.
Then why is it on video game consoles?
Because it stores, right?
Because Sony created Blu-rays, man.
If HD DVD won out, if that format had won out, then everybody would have to use it, and Sony would look like assholes for continuing. You know, if HD DVD became the standard, it's like, okay, this is a Panasonic and all these guys, they're licensing HD. This is and this is official. We're going to give it an ISO number and everything. That would have dictated what the game consoles use.
Chris, let's say the roles were reversed, and the PlayStation 3 did not come with a Blu-ray and came with a regular DVD player, and the Xbox came with an HD DVD from the get-go.
The Xbox didn't come with an HD DVD, though. That hypothetical makes no sense.
It does make sense.
No, it doesn't. It came with a DVD player.
And I'm Sony saying if...
Was, yes, they're the proprietors of the Blu-ray format. They were pushing it.
They dictated their terms for their console, which became mainstream with another console.
But it didn't become mainstream because of the console.
Blu-ray
just became a standard storage format. Yeah, that's what he's trying to say. I agree with that. Like they didn't really dictate anything, because, you know, again, the Xbox 360 didn't suddenly decide to have Blu-rays. The Wii didn't suddenly decide to have Blu-rays. All that shit came next, you know, this generation, but just because Blu-rays were already ubiquitous, understand? So Sony didn't really push that. You know, they didn't
did. They put their heads on the line, charging 100 and 200 extra bucks for their console and almost coming in last place. Because they did put a Blu-ray disc on their drive.
Yeah, but that didn't dictate anything.
They dictated their own terms,
But the only reason it became a standard is because Blu-ray is the biggest storage unit out there. That's why. It wasn't because of Sony. It's just because it's the biggest thing that
can hold games. So the PlayStation 3 had no effect on the success of Blu-ray?
Absolutely none.
What?
Yeah, it did. It.
Is anybody else here?
I got to jump in and call.
Yeah, go ahead.
What,
dude?
Can you just repeat that last section of fucking comment for me, or can we play it back?
The PlayStation 3 did not dictate the success of Blu-ray. I said it.
Oh my god!
Nobody bought the fucking PS3, bro. Nobody bought it for that. You know, in the beginning,
they bought it. They're right. They did.
The PS2 sold DVDs. I'll give you that. But the PS3 did not sell fucking Blu-ray players.
Yo, I know a lot of people that jumped on just for that, because they were like, "Yo, well, I have two and I got the Blu-ray, and they switched to Blu-ray."
You know?
Yes, at the beginning. But it was a different sort. The PS2 was the cheapest DVD player. So Sony had priced themselves well to push that. With the PS3, it was different. You could buy a Blu-ray player by itself cheaper than a PS3 and watch movies.
I remember the PS3 was always the cheaper Blu-ray. Yeah, did you try to buy Blu-rays back in the day?
No, because I didn't care about Blu-rays back then.
Well, then how do you know?
Exactly.
Because I lived it, motherfucker. That's how
I lived it too. I tried to buy Blu-ray players.
I don't know what
you're talking about. The PlayStation was always the cheapest Blu-ray player, and it also happened to play video games.
No, it was mad expensive, man. Because I remember it was different than the PS3. PS2, excuse me. PS2 was the cheapest DVD player. PS3 was not the cheapest Blu-ray player. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't.
Eventually, maybe, but
not at the beginning.
There might have been one Blu-ray or two Blu-ray cheaper than that. But in general, most Blu-ray players were all mad expensive back in the days when they came out.
Was it? So it wasn't the, it wasn't the cheapest then. Remember with PS2, it was the cheapest DVD player.
I'm reading an article right now from The Verge that even says PlayStation 3 had the Blu-ray and now it's their ultimate Trojan horse and helped the movie industry push into that generation for new sales because they were really low on the DVD.
And what year is that article from?
Anniversary, I'll tell you right now. Let me see.
I remember when
2019, December 4th.
December 4th, 2019. That's a retrospective, HDDVD, though, man. I want an article from that fucking year. You know, from like 2007.
Yeah. And Blu-ray came out, they were in competition. There was no clear winner.
Yeah, no,
there
was no clear winner between
both of them.
Yeah.
And the biggest selling system that sold, that played Blu-rays, was the PlayStation 3.
That was the only one that played Blu-ray back then, bro.
No, it said system. No, I didn't say console.
Oh, you're talking about machine, right?
Yeah, and everyone always said that the reason why HD DVD didn't even have a chance is because the fucking Xbox never came with one. I
don't believe that.
Well,
go ahead, Chris.
Look, and also that was Microsoft's mistake.
Yeah, they should have went all in on it.
I agree with that.
They should have absolutely went all in on HD DVD just because of the storage. That alone should have been like, okay, we're going to push this. They should have made that deal right when they were making the 360 and had that shit in there.
I agree.
And yeah, maybe there, it would have been a different story with formats. I don't know. I'm because I don't know that much about HD DVD players. I don't know how kind of ubiquitous it was.
All right, but from that year, PlayStation 3 sees sales skyrocket 56% thanks to Blu-ray.
What year?
This is also 2007. Right here, hold on, let me send it.
PS3 sales skyrocketed 2007. Let me see
the year. Hold on, I'm trying to move this fast.
Yeah. Anyway, what I was going to say is like if the 360 had an HD DVD player, I think if the HD DVD players would still be around, you know, because the 360 was like cheaper and it was a very successful console compared to PS3. Nobody was buying the PS3 for the first 3 years. Nobody bought that shit because it was too expensive. But they were buying 360s. You know,
11/15/08. It was 08. 11/15/08.
And that's when the price drop happened too, Adam. That's when the price drop happened too.
Yeah, but they're saying that it was for the Blu-ray. People were getting into Blu-rays. And they saw this as like, wow, I can play games and get all these hot new movies with the new features.
Yeah. Well, that was 2008. That's when things started shifting. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, Carlos, go ahead, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're at. Yeah.
And that was from Engadget.
Yeah, Engadget. 2008.
Like I mentioned, if Microsoft wanted to dictate their HD DVD terms from the get-go, the HD DVD might still exist today, but we don't know, and it's not something.
By the way,
relevant.
You're not using the word dictate, right? You're using it for just themselves. We're talking about for the entire.
Yeah, but that's the only way they can do it. They can't. They don't have. You know, it's not like a world leader who's saying, okay, everyone can only buy PlayStation 3s. You know, that's not how it works. That's what we're trying to say.
The question. Microsoft is not in a position to dictate anything because they're in last place. That goes back to how.
Not even the first place.
Well, Sony kind of has pull. They could dictate some shit because they're in first place. They can. And even Nintendo too, to some extent. As a matter of fact, they're dictating the fact that you got to put all the fucking games on Switch now. You know, if you have pull, you could dictate shit. But if you're not in the lead, you can't say no. You could do whatever the fuck you want.
Tell that to EA, man. Again, said they ain't doing that. So
again, that's the thing. When success is what dictates the future, and that's what it is. Yes, Microsoft could do incredibly well with this, and obviously Sony and Nintendo are looking at this, but they're not going to let it affect anything that they're doing currently because what they're doing currently is working.
Yeah.
Well, we know that it's definitely for Sony because that's why they partnered up with them for the Azure, for their backend.
Yeah.
Because they know they need help in that. They see the writing on the wall, and this is where it's going.
Well, they're also probably doing it is because they also don't want to deal with Google.
Nintendo had the worst selling console with the GameCube that generation, and they dictated motion controls with the Wii.
The Wii definitely dictated motion controls,
but they were in last place.
No, but no. The Wii was in first place. What are you talking about?
No. From
the previous generation is what he's saying. From the GameCube
was in last place.
They were in
the GameCube. Yeah, but the GameCube didn't dictate anything. The Wii did.
Exactly, yeah. And they came from last.
No, 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 Nintendo. We're talking about Nintendo. GameCube.
Yeah, yes, we are.
But the GameCube didn't do anything. The Wii did.
Exactly.
That's my fucking point. Thank you for proving my point.
You said that no one follows the loser, the losing end. Yeah. And here it is.
Yeah, the Wii was the winner.
Initially, when the Wii got revealed, that is when the interest came into because of they were offering something new and different.
Exactly.
But you notice when Microsoft and Sony decided to get into that sort of business. They got into that
after the Wii started blowing up. Yep.
So yeah, but they were in success, they showed up with something new, which is again.
But
success.
They only hated it when they were in first place.
Yeah.
They were in the lead. Mm-hmm. Lead in that generation, and then started Project Natal, and Sony started research.
Their own Wii.
They took the lead, and then they dictated. You can't look, they were in last place before. No, but they took the lead, and then everybody followed suit. Like, oh, shit, we need motion controls.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they followed suit because they didn't have the same vision. Nintendo was in last place and said, motion controls are going to be a thing. And you know what? It was a thing. And they were in last place when they decided to do that. That's why.
Yeah, but everybody followed when they became successful.
Yes.
So if the Wii didn't do anything,
nobody would have adopted it.
But what if Microsoft? What if the Scarlet is the new hotness?
It could be.
That's how you transition from being in last place, but we're talking about this generation specifically, man.
At this point in time, nobody should be looking at. Nobody's going to be looking at them because they haven't reached ultimate success from them. Exactly. Once they start reaching that, let's say Microsoft's all digital thing, their subscription service starts doing amazingly. That's the moment when it starts to dictate what the rest of the industry is going to do. Yep. And that's when Sony's going to start putting more money into their PlayStation now. And that's when Nintendo is going to start putting their money into whatever service they have.
There you go.
I think we're splitting hairs on semantics here because the question is not specifically enough for either of our answers to be incorrect.
What happened now?
The question is not asked in a way where either of our answers are incorrect.
Yeah, because we're not really. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a good debate, though.
Yeah.
All right. Where the fuck are we? The last question of the night, people.
What is this?
Yeah, Johnny W. Uppercut. So only one question for us: has the Xbox division put more focus on different SKUs of consoles and controllers this generation and potentially next generation than actual games? I mean, yeah, that's the running joke, right? It's like, yo, there's more Xbox controllers than fucking Xbox exclusives, you know?
Shoot, they have a whole department to just customizing and building your own.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not going to say no.
I don't want to beat a dead horse while, you know.
Hey, you got the reference right, man.
Whoever beats a dead horse? Like, when did that ever come? I always wondered about that saying because I'm like, fuck, where do you live that you even decide to beat a dead horse? Like, what's the reason?
I think the idea is that you've already beaten the horse to death.
Yeah, it's like, stop beating the horse. Yeah. It's one of those weird idioms. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it came from people being like, oh, sweet, dead horse.
I'm going to beat my dead horse.
If you always hear, if a horse breaks its leg, you got to kill it. So then are they saying that's how you do it? Instead of just shooting it in the head, you're beating it, or you're clubbing this shit?
Yo. You know?
Oh, man.
It's like, shit, I could get the shotgun on the bar, but I got this bag, right? And I need to work out my shooting arm.
I've seen enough gamers that I can imagine actually just flipping out and beating your horse, kind of like throwing your controller, might have been a thing back in the day.
Maybe, yeah. Instead of like,
man, stop kicking your horse, it dead. I know you're flipping out right now.
Oh my god, you lost a game of poker. You go beat the shit out of your horse.
Better than your wife.
I'll teach you to lose me a poker game.
Fucking horse looking at me sideways.
I'm gonna kill you.
I see your rectangular eyes.
See, I think it's more interesting about that is that it didn't breed some sort of saying about fist fighting a horse.
Yeah, right.
You ever seen a fist fight with a kangaroo? That shit's hilarious.
I've seen those. It's hilarious, man.
Mm-hmm. Wait, people actually try and fight fist fight?
Oh, kangaroos? Yeah. They box them. They box.
There's kangaroos. The one where the kangaroo is like messing with someone's dog. And then the...
I remember that. I saw that shit.
Yeah, the guy came and beats the shit out of the kangaroo.
None of us, other than fucking Glorious War, none of us live in Australia, so we don't have to worry about that. But
your Glorious War is punching a kangaroo right now, son.
I like the way you think that most people in Australia just live in the outback.
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
Like it's fucking Mad Max. There are cities there.
Well, I've heard that. I mean, if you don't live in the mega urban parts of the area, like if you live in like the suburbs and stuff like that, you'll see those animals there.
Koalas and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know about koalas.
All right, man. What the fuck are we? I think we're done here. Manny, pull up that graphic again, man.
What is this graphics?
Hit me with the graphics.
Hit me with the graphic. Yeah, we're bringing back to the old school, man.
I closed that thing down.
Just bring it
vamp for a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah, basically, Throwdown. We're going to be doing things a little bit differently for the next 2 weeks. So we're going to give you the rundown once again. Once Manny pulls up the graphic again.
Oh, yeah, I'm leaving this to
you. Yeah, man. By the way, Warzone's going to be ending in 2 episodes, people.
Oh, we better. Dang.
The end of a legend.
Let us go on.
So, yeah, we just try to get on, man. But there might be some complications, which I'm not going to talk about on air. Anyway,
okay.
Let's go, man. So, this Thursday, I'm going to, even though it says 8:30, I'm going to change it. This Thursday, throughout episode 264, there's going to be our Game Awards stream special. We're going to start streaming at 8 p.m. Eastern, half an hour before the Game Awards, because we're going to give you guys our little pregame, you know, our predictions and all that other bullshit. That's going to be a long episode, because we're going to stream the entire show, and then we're going to give you some post-game shit afterwards. So that's Thursday, December 12th. Then on Sunday, December 15th, we got Throw It On Your Questions, episode 264, regular episode for that one. The following week, which will be the last week for us of the year, Thursday, December 19th, will be Throwdown episode 265, the end of the year special, where we're going to be running down the best and worst games of the year, as well as some of the biggest gaming stories that happen during the year. And then Sunday, December 22nd, we're going to have Throwdown Your Questions episode 265, the AMA special, where we're going to let you guys ask us whatever the hell you want, and we're going to limit you to 3 questions. So that's what's going on right there. And, you know, because I forgot to mention this, so for Thursday's show, the one that's coming up now, we're going to have Taylor Lyles and David Gilton in helping us out. And for the Game of the Year special, we're going to have Robert Workman on. So going to be a
Workman.
And then, you know, we're going to take 2 weeks off, as you guys can see there on the screen. And then we return with episode 266 of Throwdown on Thursday, January 9th. And Throwing Your Questions, episode 266, returns on Sunday, January 12th, man. So, yeah, lots of stuff coming up here, man. It's going to be crazy, you know?
Throwdown, it's hard to believe it's the end of the year. I feel like this year just went, like, so quick.
Pretty much, you know? Next year is going to be, you know, crazier. You know, it's going to be interesting. We're done here. All right, so thank you for watching and listening. Leave us the questions at the Throwdown Discord server, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care.
Carlos Romero.
Adios.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real, party people.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Monjoma.
And to end on a nice, controversial note, I'm actually enjoying Crackdown 3.
Oh,
it's a good game. It's fun.
It's not controversial, it's because me and Tony played it.
I liked it. It was good. All right, people. We'll see you on Thursday. Remember, 8 p.m. Eastern for the Game Awards stream. Later.
See you guys.